Here with you today, that when I was a student, one of the big movies which was released was The Matrix. I'm sure that many of you have seen it. And in that film, that the main character has this realization, the world is not all that it should be. That he comes to gradually doubt the fabric of reality, and he learns that in fact he's living in a virtual reality to imprison everyone in their kind of in their luxury. And as we grow up, we begin to have the same realization as well, that we begin to realize the world is not all as it should be, that sometimes the good guys don't always win, sometimes our parents aren't always right and aren't always perfect, that people in authority, the government, they let us down. They do things the wrong way. And we have a gradual sense the world is not right. But as John so lovelyly prayed for us earlier, that Jesus comes with the promise of his kingdom, that one day there will be a new day and a new dawn, a time when every tear will be wiped away, every sickness will be healed, where there will be fullness and restoration, and the world will be as it should be, that the world will be put right, and that longing for something more will be fulfilled. That today we're going to start by looking at the prophet Micah with this probably the most famous passage from this book in the Bible. And the Old Testament prophets had a fantastic gift for holding that tension of critiquing the world they see around us, looking at it, seeing that it's not all that it should be, not all that there is, and then longing for the world which is to come, pointing us in the direction of everything which God is doing in the future. And let's read this passage together. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And that last little part is a fantastic summary of what God often wants for us. He wants us to be a people who act justly, who love mercy, and walk humbly with him. That Micah was alive at the same time as the famous prophet Isaiah, at a time when Israel was divided into two nations, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and that their history at that point was in many ways similar to the place that the UK often finds itself in today. That historically, under David and Solomon, the nation had been obedient to God, they had wanted to follow him, they'd had a value on his rules and his laws, and they'd been blessed with protection and prosperity, and that they'd increased and abounded in wealth and security. But as time went on, the people began to love the things and the luxury which the covenant of God, which God with God brought, more than they loved God himself. And they began to seek their own power, their own pleasure in their own ways, and they turned away from God's laws and regulations. And as that happened, disaster after disaster began to befall them. Their nation was racked with sickness and then lost wars, and gradually they lost the freedom, the prosperity, the riches, and that they struggled to always come back, see that connection between the mistakes they were making and the disasters which were now befalling them. And in the same way that the UK has this rich kind of spiritual heritage of times where it's been really going after God, where it's really sought him. But over recent years, it's turned to a kind of an individualism, a seeking after its own kind of, people sought after doing it things their own way, have turned their back on God, turned their back on his rules. And that the result of that has given us a broken and fractured society where rather than people sacrificing and giving of themselves the blessing of the whole, everyone's just in it for themselves to try and get what best they can get out of it. And into that place, God's call to us is to be people of justice, to be people of mercy, and people who walk humbly with him. That we don't need to make elaborate kind of sacrifices, and that he has already given his son so that the people can be set free. But his call to us is one of justice, mercy, and walking with him. And God made the world to be ruled over. When it comes and talks about justice, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God's rule and his kingdom, right? So Jesus talks about his kingdom as well. A place where God's rule is worked out. And that when God rules somewhere, he rules and uses authority to bring about people's thriving. He uses it to make people flourish and be prosperous and fruitful, right? And to bring out the best of their lives. When Satan rules in places, he oppresses, right? He destroys, he exploits. He doesn't care about the people who are under his authority. He just wants to get out of people. And for the kings of Israel, they had a choice about whose image they wanted to bear. They could be kings in the style of God, where they used their authority to bring about the thriving of their nation, where they helped their nation follow God's rules and God's commandments. Or they could be people who are just like, well, we're just in this to try and get rich. We're just going to get as much out of the nation as we can. And that we all have places where we're given authority. That none of us may be kings, but we will all have places in our life. It might be over children who we're raising. It might be in our workplaces. It might be over the environment. So all of humanity are called to look after the earth. That's part of how God called Adam. And all humans are called to steward the earth and its creation. We all have authority over it. And we're called to use that authority in a just way, just as the kings of Israel were called to use their authority in a just way, to bring about the flourishing and the thriving of the world under us. And it may have come to your attention that we haven't always done a great job. Humanity as a whole have not done a great job of caring for the world. But rather than being people who make the plants and the trees and the animals flourish, instead we've kind of gone around and destroyed everything so that they die off. But part of our call as being God's people are to be people who nurture creation, right? And that can be part of just doing your recycling. It can be part of caring for your pets. But that's part of the call of God's people, is to care about the world around us. And also to be people who care about the society. You know, coming into a general election, we want to be people who are working for justice, right? We don't want to come into this election going, well, which of these guys is going to be best for me? We want to come with it, with an eye to go, how can we vote, which is going to bring about the thriving of our people and communities. And we want to get rid of people in politics who are just in it for themselves, right? If people are just like, they're just out in it for the money and the power, we're not interested. We're looking for leaders who are going to bring about, who are interested in serving their communities and bringing about the thriving of the people under their authority. Because that is what it means to be a people of justice. That the second thing is we're to be people of mercy. The dictionary definition of mercy is to treat someone better than they deserve. And so just take a little time, think about over your life, when have been some of the times you've treated people better than they deserve? And all of us, we have a tendency to want to give to people as they give to us, right? We tend to want to give good to those people who do good to us, and we tend to want to give a bit of an elbow to the people who treat us badly. But Jesus' call to us is to be like our Father in heaven, who sends the sun and the rain on the righteous and the wicked alike, to be people who treat people better than they deserve. And that is what it means to be people of mercy. And finally, we're to be people who walk humbly with God, that none of us can accomplish this in our own strength, that humans trying their hardest always seem to fall short and often wind up making a mess, that we're supposed to be empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit, you know, and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into all of the different parts of our lives, sharing that our lives at work, at home, as we rest, as we pray, as we live with God, and allowing him to walk through us and to us to be his image bearers. The second passage I want to talk about today is this passage from Matthew's Gospel, and it really illustrates some of the ideas we've kind of talked about in our first passage. It's Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat and with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus shows mercy to Matthew, that he treats him better than he deserves. That Matthew is a tax collector, and I think no one particularly enjoys paying taxes. It's always one of the low points of my year when I have to fill out my tax form. But the problem with Roman tax collectors was not that they collected taxes, which could have been reasonable. The problem with Roman tax collectors is that they were notoriously corrupt and they took more than they deserved. Secondarily is that the Roman tax system was fundamentally unjust, that Roman citizens paid exactly 0% tax, whilst people in the conquered and subjugated regions of the empire paid vast quantities of tax. And the whole point of the system was to impoverish the occupied territories and to bring the money under Roman control, to weaken the people who were their subjects and strengthen themselves. It was precisely an unjust system, and an unjust system which would reoccur many times after the Roman Empire throughout history. And Matthew has solely, wholeheartedly bought into this system, that he was a foot soldier for the regime in making sure that those tax revenues came in from his own people. And into that place, Jesus calls, "Come and follow me." That he would have been someone who had been hated and isolated, and Jesus now says, "Come and eat with me." He brings him into the community. And Matthew has to give up what he's doing before. He can't go back to being a tax collector once he started following Jesus. But he's given that invitation to come into community, come into the family of God. That Jesus treats him better than he deserves. He welcomes him, gives him a second start. And when the Pharisees see this, they come to his disciples and they are like, "Well, why does Jesus do this? It's just completely unreasonable." And Jesus' response to them is that he's come for the sick, not for the healthy. And deep down, if the Pharisees had a right understanding, they would know that they were sick too, right? And that this was good news for them. That he's come to call sinners, not to save people who think they're righteous, as it were. That we all begin our journey as followers of Jesus by having to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we can get it wrong, that we're the sick who need Jesus to come and heal us. That in the 12-step program from Alcoholics Anonymous, a program built off of biblical principles, the first step is to acknowledge that you have a problem and that your life has come out of control. That's the first step. And that's the first step for becoming a follower of Jesus. You have to admit that you can't do it by yourself, that you need help. And that brings us back to where that help comes from, that our help comes from the fact that Jesus is merciful, that he treats us better than we deserve, and he is quick to come to help us. But we need to be people who decide to let him in. We need to be people who walk with him in all those different parts of our life. That it's easy to have a room at the back which you kind of try and keep a little bit locked. But we need to open up every part of our life and invite the Holy Spirit in to help us. Because we can't do it by ourselves. To wrap it up, three things I want you to kind of take away. I want us to go away thinking about being people of justice. Where are the places in your life where you can use your authority to bring about the thriving of others? So it could be like with children. So with children, we set rules about how much time they can watch TV, when they have to come back, what they can do, who they can see. And we set those rules because we want to bring about their thriving, right? We say, you know, you've got to come to church because we want people to come to church so they can come to know and love the Lord. So we can use authority to bring about the thriving of children. I want us to be people of mercy. You know, it's great to be a church which welcomes people in, even if they've made loads of mistakes. You know, we don't want to be a judgmental. We want to be people who welcome people in to come and eat and be part of us, our community, to come and encounter Jesus. And we want to be people who walk with Jesus. You know, who take all of this teaching and we invite Jesus into all of the parts of our lives. And then who go away, having been transformed by encountering Jesus, to be people who go and give that to other people. And to share the good things which we've received from God with them. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. We think about the government and all of the people running for this election, Lord. We pray that we would get a government who want to bring about the thriving of the people under their authority. We pray that where there are people who are in it for the power or for themselves, that they would be cut off, Lord, that those people would not get into power. That the people that we would get would be people who would humbly come to serve. We pray as a church that we would be people of mercy. Where we would be people who treat others better than they deserve. That we'd be people ready with a second chance. And we invite you into every part of our lives to fill us up, Lord, and to send us out. Amen.